Thank you. Good morning. Please be seated. Lovely to be with you today on this perfect day. Beautiful weather, absolutely superb. Let's have a good look at you. Oh, I could see some of you oldies there. Some of us go back donkey's years. We go back to the early 80s, some of us, don't we? We've been a long time together. And you're not looking too bad, some of you. A beautiful scripture that I want to read that you, most of you will know, the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 11, beautiful passage, and verse 28. These are the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. They're beautiful words that Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And I think that those words were inspired by what happened a couple of chapters before. In chapter 9, and verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Now listen to this. It says, when he saw the crowds, and we're talking about multitudes of people, probably thousands of people. When he saw the crowds, there would be thousands. Do you know why? Because he was healing the sick, casting out demons, people would have come from all over to see him. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Interesting words. He looked at the people and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He saw them harassed and as sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. And I got a feeling that might have inspired these words when he says, come to me. That's what I think. Come to me, or you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those words were spoken 2,000 years ago. And I was thinking about it when Jesus saw all these people. It says, he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. Now, the shepherd, of course, represents someone who is leading you, someone who is guiding you. And yet, there was plenty of leaders in that day and age. There was Roman dictators, governors, kings, princes, philosophers, rabbis, teachers, priests and Pharisees. There were no shortage of teachers. There was no shortage of leaders. But when Jesus saw the people, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Isn't that interesting? He didn't see them as being led and guided properly. He's no fool. He knew that there was leaders. He knew that there were people speaking into their lives, but he said that these people were like sheep without a shepherd 2,000 years ago. And then he made the invitation. You come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's an invitation. It's not a command. Jesus did not command the people to come to him. He invited them. Now, this is 2,000 years ago. And do you know what? He invited the masses to come to him. And they didn't. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed. And he invited them to come, and they didn't come. Only a few came. 2,000 years later, I've read this scripture to you. And I'm saying the same thing. This is not a command. It is an invitation for you to come to Jesus if you are weary and heavy laden. There's no shortage of leaders in our day and age, like there was no shortage of leaders back then. We have leaders, we have kings, we have princes, we have politicians, we have philosophers. We have many leaders of all kinds, everybody trying to get a piece of your ear. We even have Google. They never had Google back then. They didn't have Google. Do you know Google's become like God? He knows everything. True. I have never yet asked a question to Google and he answered me saying, I don't know. I don't care what I've asked. Google's never said to me, oh, that's too hard for me, I don't know. Last night, I got into Google and I put, listen to this, when will the end of the world be? And I thought, it's going to answer me, it doesn't know. Didn't. It came up with all these ideas of when the world's going to, it was pages and pages and pages of it. This, you try any question you ask Google, it'll give you an answer. What does that tell us? There's no shortage of information. None whatsoever. But I believe today, if Jesus was standing here in person, he'd say the same thing. He looks out over the masses with all their politicians, with all their philosophers, with all their religions, with all their leaders. And he'd see them as sheep without a shepherd. Because those leaders, those teachers, are leading the people wrong. What do we, 2,000 years later, we still live in a confused, lonely world. Hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. The only things that change is technology. The only things that change is many Western countries are very wealthy. But do you know what? Whether you're a wealthy nation or a poor nation, it hasn't changed the fact that people are lonely. People are hurting. People are popping pills to bring some kind of satisfaction to their mind. They're into all sorts of lifestyles to try to get out of the drudgery of life. They're trying their hardest. There is no answer, they think, in this life. Do you know medication is a multi-billion dollar industry? There are tablets for everything. I'm telling you. There's uppers, there's downers, there's tablets to keep you awake, there's tablets to make you go to sleep. There's tablets to try to relieve pain. There's tablets to try to release the chemicals in your brain so that you're not depressed, so that you're happy, that you're feeling good. Chemicals. And on top of all the chemicals, there's all sort of the addictions that people get into. And people get addicted to tablets as well, to pills. They do. But then there's the addictions that people get into to try to alcohol, drugs, sex, they try, and they become addicted. They become like slaves to these things. See, Jesus looked over the crowd 2,000 years ago and saw them harassed, sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them and he was moved for them. 2,000 years later, nothing has changed. See, I told you, I think maybe the last time or the time before when I came, I used to preach that Jesus came to save the world, to change the world. And I used to preach that for many years till one day I realized that's not the reason he came. He didn't come to change the world or save the world because he can't. The world can't be saved. The world is at enmity with God. The world is opposite to God. You can't save the world. I don't preach that anymore. Jesus came to save the world. If he did, he did a pretty bad job. 2,000 years later, people are still rejecting Jesus Christ, still rejecting God, because he didn't, and the world's getting worse, not better. All the wars and the rumors of wars that we have today, the bloodshed, the anger, the road rage. We never used to know it. People are so angry, so short of time, so restless. What is, he hasn't saved the world. But what I do believe is Jesus didn't come to save the world or change the world, but he came to change my world. Amen. And every time a person follows Jesus Christ, their world changes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I live in a world that is evil and wicked and wasteful. I live in that world, but I don't belong to that world because Jesus Christ saved me out of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was looking at a program the other week on television, and it was by this woman who's a, she was doing a documentary. It was a, she's a comedian. Her name is Miriam Margolis, and she was a Jew, born a Jew, but went to England, and she's English now, but actually she just become Australian as well, so she got dual citizenship. She's a comedian. She's an actress, been in so many things. She was born the same time as me, in May 1941, so she's my age. And it just caught my eye because she was doing a documentary on wanting to find out what people thought about old age and death. So it was a two-part, it was very interesting. I watched it. Well, I watched the first part. And she decided to go out onto the streets into different communities and ask people the question, what do you think about old age? What do you think about dying? And the first place she went to in England was a dementia center. She went to a nursing home, dementia. I thought, what are you going to go there for and ask questions? You don't go to dementia centers to ask questions. You know that, don't you? Because nobody knows anything. I know my wife's in one, so I know. In fact, don't nobody get offended by what I'm going to say now. Don't get super spiritual on me. But on Remembrance Day, the 11th, I was in there, and I went to visit my wife, and they was having a remembrance service. So they got all the dementia people there for this remembrance service. It was quite nicely done. But I'm thinking, why do you go to a dementia center for a remembrance service when nobody can remember anything? I won't go into what happened. It was very, I just saw the funny side of that at all. So this woman was asking these questions and getting pathetic answers, but she actually liked this dementia center, and she started to sing to them because she's a performer. She was singing the old songs, and funnily enough, they sang along with her. The things that they seem to remember are old songs, and that was good. So she did that. But then she went to America, and she went to some places. Now listen, I didn't even know these places existed. To belong to these places, you've got to be pretty wealthy. And they're like churches, beautiful buildings, far more better than this, and this is lovely, yeah. Not painted as well as this, but and very expensive rostrums and platforms, and I thought at first it's a church, but they weren't churches. These buildings exist for people who there's in these groups of them throughout America. Listen to this, and their belief is it's got nothing to do with God. Religion doesn't come into it at all. But these people believe that the human body should live a lot longer than what it does do. If you look after it, and you feed it properly, and you exercise properly, and do all the right things, that you could live for 200, 300, 400, 500 years. That's what they believe. And by the way, there's probably a lot of truth in what they're saying about eating properly and exercising. Anyway, that's another subject. So she went along and she sat down, and all these people that were there, and there was in one of them, there's more than what there is here, big crowd of people. They were all very wealthy, all getting on in years, and you could see when the camera came close to them that they've all had the nips and tucks, you know. Yeah. Beautiful hairdos, the lady's got lovely makeup, and these men, and the youngest was about 60, 65-ish, and then they go on. So she started to question them, and there was a guy behind the platform, and what they do, they come, and it's like a church. People get up, and they talk about a great recipe that they just found. Or they've talked about a great exercise that they've started to do. And the idea is that if you exercise properly and you really eat well and you keep your mind at peace, you're going to live for 500 years. Listen, they actually believe it. I didn't know that these groups of people existed. I didn't know they existed. And she went in two or three of these centers. They're right through America. Didn't know. Did anybody else know that they existed? There you go. I'm telling you something. What about this? I didn't know this. And you think you're going to church. And they're talking very positive. No negativity. And so after, well, they had a cup of tea. Well, not tea. They had something better than tea. Coffee, things like that. Because they're watching carefully. And the guy that was leading it on this particular occasion, he was about 78, 79 years of age. And she said to him, because she's a comedian as well, and she was really pulling his leg and really having a go at him slyly because she thought it was hilarious. She's actually an atheist. She's given up on a Jewish faith, and she's an atheist. And she was just intrigued by them. And she says to this guy, how many people here are 500 years old? He says, none. He says, okay, how many are 200 years old? None. How many are 150? None. Oh. Who's the oldest? Oh, that person over there, he's 98. Oh, didn't look bad for 98 as well. And she says, so you're going to live, how long are you going to live for? Oh, I'm intending to be around at least 300-400 years. Now, let me just tell you something. These people are wealthy, intelligent people. A lot of them are business people. They own, they're not idiots. But do you know what? They are afraid to die. And as she spoke to them, this kept coming out, afraid to die. So they joined these groups, because they've probably been to churches and see people in churches die before they get to 100. So she said, these are the groups, these people think, that are for me. And so they are actually disciplining their bodies to such a degree that they believe they're going to live to 400-500 years. And she says, why would you want to live that long? She says, haven't you had enough problems in the last 60, 70 years you've got? Why would you want 500 years of problems? And she says, what about those people who are thieves, murderers, lustful people? What do you want them to live for 500 years? You're joking, because I don't. And the guy said, no, neither do I. He said, well, what are you going to do with them? He said, well, we'll knock them off. That's what he said. I'm telling you, I'm listening to this, and I've never heard anything like it in all my life. But what came out of it was the fact that they were afraid to die. And they spent as much as they can. Some of them had even got the name down that should they die prematurely, to be snap frozen. You know, you could, and let me just say, if you want to be snap frozen, I don't think there's anybody in here that can afford it. In fact, if we all put our money together, for one of you to be snap frozen, we couldn't afford it. We're talking millions of dollars to snap freeze people, put them in these special containers, and keep their bodies frozen until science so advances, medical science, that they come up with all the paraphernalia to be able to heal anything that you died of. So they're going to resurrect you again, heal you, and you're going to live forever. Disney, Walt Disney, is snap frozen. He's been dead a long time. It costs millions. They put them in these special containers in this special room, and they have people watching 24/7 to make sure nothing goes wrong. Because you don't want a bit of a failure, do you? If the electricity goes off, ooh, man alive. And some of these people in this room had got their names down to be snap frozen. But they don't want to talk about it. No, we're not talking about it. That's negative. We're going to live for at least 500 years. So that's, Now, you've heard that and you think like I do. How stupid is that? You can answer me. How stupid is that? Stupid! But they were clever people. They weren't poor, impoverished, uneducated. Most of them were highly educated. And I want to tell you, their clothes were superb. Their makeup, their hair, the way. But when the cameras got close, you could see their nips and tucks. They've had many of them. And if they're going to live for 500 years, can you imagine how many nips and tucks you're going to need? So she just pulled the legs, and they got angry with her, because you know. And so she went to two or three of these places, and then she decided to go on the streets. And this town that had got this particular group that she'd went to, this town also. The city, really, had got a lot of street people. I mean, thousands of people on the streets. She goes out onto the streets, and these people living in tents. Other people don't even have a tent to live in. They're just sleeping there wherever they can with a bit of newspaper over them. And she started to talk to them. Now, a lot of these people weren't just old. A lot of them were young people. They were all ages. Young people going through to old people. They were there because some of them were into addictions, drugs, alcohol. Others were there because their marriage had failed and they become bankrupt for whatever reason. All sorts of reasons why people are on the streets. You know, you live in God's knows, you do a wonderful feed. Can I tell you, I love this church because it's grassroots. Amen. Don't ever get upset by wacko people coming in here. Please, I'm serious. I know churches that turn wacko people away. Don't do that. The people who are in need, and if you were to live on the street for long enough, you'd become wacko. You wouldn't be thinking straight. You'd be thinking strange. That's the world. And so don't ever stop being church what you are. Do you hear me? There's a lot of wackos out there, isn't there? And there's a few in here. In fact, I would dare to say most of you. Or perhaps I should rephrase that, we used to be. But we got born again, and now we're fools for Jesus. So whatever way you go, you're going to be a wacko one way or the other. So she went around talking to these people, talking to young people. And a number of people she'd met had attempted suicide, cuts all over them. And she met one woman who was covered with tattoos. And a terrible, terrible story that she had. And she said to this woman, and she'd probably be in her 30s. She says, "What do you think about growing old?" And the woman says, "I don't want to grow old. I want to die. I want to die." And a lot of these people that she asked that question to says, "I want to die." So I started to think, she talked to these people who were afraid to die, and now she's talking to people who are afraid to live. Everybody out there is either afraid to die or afraid to live. And one of the reasons why we pop so many pills is because we're afraid to live. We can't face life without some sort of comfort, without some sort of something being pushed into us just to get us through today. That's the world in which we live. It's a terrible world. It's a sad world. It's a miserable world. And so I stopped and thought about this. And then when she had finished and she came back, went back to the dementia center, and she said, "That's the best place." And in a way, you know, because my Julie's been in the dementia center now for nearly 18 months, and I've discovered something about dementia people. They have no pride. You know, when your mind goes, pride goes with it. They're not, don't matter what they dress like, they're not bothered. Not by what people think or say about them, because it's not, it's just not clicking over. So there's no pride there at all. And my little Julie, and we've done a lot of praying for her, generally speaking, she's just a quite contented and happy person with the peace of God and the joy of the Lord within her. And I'm sad, of course. In fact, I'm probably more sad than what she is. I come away and I hurt. The other day I was telling her, you know, we've been married now 59 years and trying to tell her things. Nothing's there. She can't remember her grandchildren. Doesn't know. Doesn't always remember your names, does she? Doesn't. So it's, dementia's a horrible thing. But one thing I've noticed, and that, or she noticed this lady when she went back to the same dementia center, she went back for a sing song. And everybody was happy clapping along and singing the old songs. And there's something in that. Because the mind has gone and there's no responsibility. But those of us who don't have dementia, we face a world out there that can do us a lot of damage if we let it. And people get burdened and heavy laden. Jesus, come to me if you're burdened. We get burdened for all sorts of reasons. You know, all sorts of things in life can become a burden. And if you're a Christian, be careful what you carry. You know, we heard this morning, be careful of the past. Don't store the past up. Just look to the future in God. See, this woman discovered that people are afraid to die and people are afraid to live. The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." I'm not afraid to live. Guess what? I'm not afraid to die. Because for me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Hallelujah. We've got something, friends. We've got something very special as Christians. We need to remember what Jesus has done for us. And if you start feeling at times that, you know, the road's getting rough. We used to sing a chorus donkeys years ago in the 1950s. When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. And it went on, when the road is rough and steep. And it put, it depressed people. because you know, and I remember seeing, I used to go down to the Nottingham marketplace where all the buses came, and on Sunday night after church, and Saturday night, I used to go and preach the gospel, take a little orange box, stand on it, and try and get a crowd of people to tell them that Jesus loves them. But there was this guy who had he was dressed in a black suit with a sandwich board on him that says, "The end is near. The wages of sin is death." And he used to go down the bus queues handing out these, and his face was as long as a fiddle. And I thought, man alive, who'd want to follow him? Who would want to? That, if that's a display of Christianity, may God have mercy on our souls. Somebody said to me once, "The trouble with you, John, you're not serious enough. You're too happy to be a Christian." We had a girl in Armadale who got saved at the age of 13. We led her to the Lord, beautifully saved, went to school, and her chaplain told her, because she went and told him that she'd become a Christian, how wonderful it was. And he said, "No, there's something wrong." And she says, "Why?" He says, "You're too happy." That's what he said. "Because you're a Christian, you're too happy." You can't be a Christian if you're too happy. You can't be a Christian if you're too happy. So you've got to be miserable. And for some of you, that's not hard, is it? But that's the belief with it. That, you know, Christians have to be serious. No. They don't read the Bible. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." God, we got something to rejoice at. Put the cares of the world to one side and just see what you've got. Because I'll tell you this, if you feel, "I want to go back. I'm ready to go back. I've had enough of this. I'm out of here." Sister so-and-so really upset me, the thing she said to me. And the pastor, he walked right past me without talking to me. I've had enough. And that music is so loud. You know, people, and they leave church for the most stupidest of reasons. And they get out there and they find what burdens really are. Because if you haven't got Jesus, you're carrying your own burden. And there's all kinds of burdens. Like I've said, there's burdens of addiction. And addiction is a huge thing. But people are burdened with it. There's burdens of bad marriages. People get into a marriage and it's a burden to them. Kids can become a burden. Lack of finance can become a burden. Sickness in your body can become a burden. And I study people, I study faces. I'm amazed at how many people I see when I go through the shopping center who look miserable. I'm serious, they look miserable. I feel so sorry. People who are miserable. Oh, glory to God. We got a lovely girl. I can't remember some stories. If I've told it to you before, it's a good story. Anyway, it's true. There's a cake shop in our shopping center that I find it very hard to walk by. I try. And a couple of months ago, I walked by there and I felt myself drawn to it. And there was this girl behind the counter. And she was lovely, tall girl. She'd probably be about 17, 18. I'm pretty sure she's not a Christian, but such a nice girl. And I'm looking. She says, oh, she said, what do you want? I said, I'm not too sure. She says, let me suggest that. I said, oh, it looks good. She says, yes, I have one. Take it home. You put it in the microwave for 10 seconds, no longer. And she says, I cut it off and share it with my mum. I said, well, I'm not going to share it. If I take it, it's mine. She said, well, good. But and she's such a happy girl. I love to her to serve me because she's always saying nice things. She's such a happy girl. Listen, I said to her, when I went in the last time, I said, I'll have that. I want those two. She said, okay. Is it all right if I put them in the same bag? I says, yes, you can do that. She says, oh, awesome. I says, she said, how are you paying? I says, credit card. She says, awesome. And then after she paid, she says, do you want a receipt? I said, no. She says, awesome. She's a nice girl. And do you know what? I wish Christians were like that. I see too many miserable, long-faced Christians sucking on I don't know what. We should be happy. Come on. Because we're not afraid to live. And we're not afraid to die if Jesus is carrying our burden. Can you say amen? A bit louder than that, though. Can you say amen? If you don't agree with me, don't say it. If you think that what I'm saying is rubbish, that's all right. Well, I just feel sorry for you. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy, and I'll carry your burden. I'll do that. Bring your burdens to me. Some people have a sin burden. They can't stop doing wrong. Some people can't stop thieving. They can't stop lusting. I'm serious. They can't stop. They just can't stop. Some people are so addicted to various things it drives them to stealing things. But other people who aren't addicted have stealing as an addiction. That's sad. Jesus, come to me. And I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, whoever invented the yoke was a marvelous invention because an animal can pull an incredible weight. But when you yoke it to another animal, it pulls over three times their own weight. It's amazing, two together, what they can pull. And you can look it up, and you can see that there's a horse in Belgium that's one of the strongest draft horse in the world, and it can pull 8,000 pounds. But when it's yoked to another one, between them they pull between 20,000-24,000 pounds. It's just no problems. But what they do if they want to train a horse or a cow to have one of these contraptions on them, the yokes, they bring the one that's learning, like an apprentice, next to one that knows, that's been pulling a yoke for years. So they the yoke on the learner and they put the straps on it, but they don't tighten them. They leave them loose. So this ox or horse is pulling the weight, not the learner. The learner is just walking by side of the one that knows what to do. And then over a period of time, they start to tighten the straps. Tighten it little by little, and then they start to carry the weight together. When I read that and learned that, I thought, when Jesus said to me, "Come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden light," I thought, yeah, when I've come to Jesus and I've yoked myself to him, he's carrying my burden. And because I'm a learner and always will be, the straps never get tight on me. Do you understand? He's always walking with me and he's always carrying the load because I am a disciple. I'm a learner. He's the master. And he is saying to you, whatever your burden is, whether it be sex, addiction, whether it be a marriage problem, financial problem, sickness in your body, whatever it may be, loneliness. Loneliness can be a terrible, terrible burden to carry. Whatever it is. Sin, how shocking, doing wrong. Not knowing why you do wrong, but just doing it and being sorry. There's people who have quite vicious mouths, who are so quick to put people down, so quick to condemn people, so quick to say nasty things. And a lot of those people go away and regret what they've said, but they've said it, and next time round they say it again. It becomes a burden. Because the Bible says the whole world lies in the hand of the evil one. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And that's what's happening out there. That's why Jesus, although they had all these leaders, he saw them like sheep without a shepherd because the leaders were not leading them properly. And if you think that politics is the answer to the world's problems, I feel really sorry for you. I seriously do. Politics, it's not the answer. They're trying, they're doing what they can, but it's not the answer. The world's been in a mess and is in a mess. And if you say, I don't care what it is, and politics is, it's not the answer. Amen. Neither is democracy the answer. Amen. Or people cry out, oh, we're democratic. No, we're not. A few people make decisions for you. Yeah, that's right. We're not democratic. I don't want to be a democrat anyway. I want to be a theocrat. God makes my decisions for me. And let me tell you this, I don't mind. I'd sooner God make my decisions than the politicians. I'm following him. I'm following Jesus. I've got his yoke. Now, he bore burdens. He knew what it was. He bore the burden of your sin, your sickness, your loneliness, your addictions, your poverty. He bore it all. He bore that on his shoulders. That was his burden that he pulled, and then he conquered and says, you come, and you can walk with me because my yoke is easy now. My burden is light. Amen. And I'm not saying by that being a Christian is easy. Hey, I'm not saying that. When I first became a Christian, I was 15 years of age, and when I first became a Christian, I had this idea that if you're a Christian and God forgives you, you then become perfect. I was only 15. I didn't know the Bible, but that's what it made sense to me. And I thought, if I have become a Christian, then I'm perfect. Guess what? 2 weeks after I was a Christian, I stole some cigarettes from a mate at work who was off sick. I went through the locker, found these cigarettes in his overalls, went around the back and smoked them. And I suddenly started to cry. I thought to myself, God, what am I doing? Smoking, and I've stole these cigarettes, and I'm supposed to be a Christian. So, next Sunday at church, pastor gave the appeal, who wants to get saved? I was first out the front. And he said, what are you coming out the front for? You were saved last week. I said, no, I wasn't, because I'm still doing things wrong. I used to think that if you still do something wrong, that you're not saved. But the wonderful thing is that the blood of Jesus not only washed you from your past sins, but he's washed you from your present sins, and he washes you from your future sins. Amen. His salvation is whole. His salvation is real. Now listen, I'm not trying to say that because you're a Christian, you're perfect, and that everything will go well. It won't. It can't, living in this world. And I used to say this. I used to say this. When I was 16, I so loved the Lord that I said, Lord, I'd like to go to heaven now. Do you know why? Because I realized that in heaven, it's going to be easy to be a Christian. I worked that out. I didn't know much of a Bible, but I knew in heaven, it's not going to be hard. No drugs in heaven. No burdens in heaven. No poverty in heaven. No sickness in heaven. No sin in heaven. Hallelujah. So I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. At the age of 16, I was ready to go because I didn't want to keep failing. But then I learned, I grew, and I started to mature, and I realized that, hey, I'm covered anyway. I'm like you, in a spiritual bubble. We walk in this world, but we're not of it. We're in spiritual bubbles. You're singing those songs this morning. Now, so you sang some songs I haven't sung for a while, but the oldest. Do you know what? Beautiful. You don't never tire. You never get tired of singing about the glory of God. Amen. I'm watching you. I'm looking at you. I'm seeing who's nodding and who isn't. I'm seeing who's agreeing with me. Because, friends, I'm telling you, you can let this world rub you up the wrong way. You can let your marriage, your family, your workplace rub you up the wrong way if you let it, but don't let it. Amen. Don't let it get the better of you. We heard this morning, put that all behind you. Hallelujah. Hey, is there people here with disappointments? Of course there are. Would be something wrong if you didn't have disappointments. I got lots of disappointments, but am I allowing my disappointments to drag me down? I refuse to let them, because for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Hallelujah. And I still love Jesus and his word more than Google. Did you hear that?
Yes.
I'm serious. I do. And I love Jesus and his word more than Facebook. I know a lot of Christians, none here of course, but I know a lot of Christians who spend more time on Facebook than they do in the word of God. They spend more time on Facebook than the book. And they wonder why they've got problems. You look at all these selfies. You look at all these other people's selfies. Every jolly thing on Facebook is a selfie of somebody or something. You see, all it's called. It didn't ought to be called Facebook. It ought to be called selfies. Because we're just looking at self. Look what I had for my dinner today. Look at the bus I caught to go into town today. Look at this beautiful hotel I'm staying in today. Look at this lovely swimming pool that I'm going to have a swim in. It's all about self. Is it any wonder that the world's in a mess? We need to give our heart and law and life totally to Jesus Christ. So there it is. Are you afraid to live? Are you afraid to die? What are you doing to try to ease that? Well, there's only one thing you really can do. That's come to Jesus Christ. Don't become religious. Don't become religious. Because religion is just another leader that's not leading you in the truth. Jesus was not religious. He got religion all around him. And he looked at all these religious leaders amongst the masses of people. And he said he had compassion on them because they were harassed. Like sheep without a shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Most of the times when I've got, not fed up, but somewhat disquieted at looking at Christianity, has been a result of looking at people. I got a few nods then. Not too many though. Don't put your eyes on people. Put your eyes on Jesus Christ. And you want to know about Jesus? Read the Word. All that I know and all that I'm telling you today about Jesus Christ, I've got it from the Word of God. I didn't get it from Google. It's not there. Everything I know about Jesus comes from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the beautiful letters that Paul wrote, and the Old Testament prophecies. I know Jesus because I know the Word. Amen. And that's where you've got to walk. And if you don't walk in the Word, it's not long before this world gets a bit of you. Gets a little bit here and a little bit there. Takes a bit here, takes a bit there, takes a bit more here, takes a bit more there. Before you know where you are, you're not reading the Word. You're looking at all substitutes. And what are those substitutes for you doing? Are they making you a better person? I'm telling you, no. Only Jesus is able to do that. Amen. Well, that was a pretty good sermon. I enjoyed that. Every time I come here, I really enjoy what I preach. Do you know, because it's the truth. I'm just preaching simply God's word to you. I'd hate to be like those people with all their money in America, fearful of dying, doing all they can to try to live an extra year. Because no matter how long you live, it's going to happen. And the other thing is, no matter how much you try, the wrinkles still come. Don't care how many I've cut out, there's another one to follow it. I don't care how much hair you have today, it'll end up like mine one day. Does. Doesn't, you can't stop it. It's, friends, you can't stop it. But we have, those who love Jesus, a new body waiting for us. Amen. Amen. I got a word for you. The Lord say, keep pressing in your worship in Him. Over the next few months, something's going to happen that's not going to be good. You're going to have cause to question, and you're going to have cause to even perhaps feel like turning back. But God sees your heart. He knows that you love Him, you worship Him, you care for Him. And He says, don't stop that. When you hear this news that's going to distress you, don't stop worshiping. Keep on praying, because He loves you and He cares for you and He'll bring you through. He'll bring you through triumphant. Got a few more minutes left yet. You can come up a few more minutes left yet. I want to just say to you that God sees you and He loves you and He's got a great future in store for you. You don't see it. You don't understand it. In fact, at times you wonder what life is all about, even for you. Sometimes you wish that you were somebody else. Sometimes you wish you could do other things that others do. But God says to you today that He sees you and He loves you as you are. And He cares for you as you are. And He's going to create a future for you that you never thought was possible. You look back and say, wow, what God did for me was absolutely wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Keep close. He loves you very much. Amen. Don't put yourself down. Don't do that. Don't put yourself down, because He's lifting you up. Amen. Amen. How many people here today would say to me, I'm carrying burdens. My greatest burden is a burden of sin. I know I need to be forgiven. I know that I need to be forgiven of the things that I've done wrong. Well, Jesus says, come to me. Remember, it's an invitation. It's not a command. He won't drag you from your seat. He won't make you put your hand up. He won't make you. But He's asking you to volunteer your life to Him and saying, I've looked around, Lord, and you're right. There's no real leadership. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to know about you. I want to find out about you. And I believe that you died for me on the cross. And you shed your blood. And you bore my sin. And I want to follow you today. I want you to forgive me so I can follow you today. Forgive me. Cleanse me. And I want to follow you. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand while I'm looking at you right now and say, "That's God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you." Anybody else? Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven. You know, that's the most important thing really there is today. Maybe you need marriage help and guidance. Maybe you do, and maybe this thing's about loneliness you need help in. But the most important thing is you need to be forgiven. For what that man had on his back, that sandwich board, when he says, the wages of sin is death. That is true. I wish he'd put the rest of it on, though. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ
our Lord. Yeah, the wages of sin is death, but you don't have to draw those wages. Amen? You don't have to work anymore for death. You can come to Jesus and he'll give you the gift of eternal life, forgive you for your sin, cleanse you. Quite a few people raise their hand. Is there somebody here who didn't raise their hand? And you know you should. You know you need forgiving. You know you need cleansing in the blood of Jesus. Just put your hand up in the air if you didn't do it. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anyone else? Come on, anybody else? I believe God's speaking to a couple more people at least here. I just sense it. Just got time. We're nearly finished. But I don't want you to go out of this meeting burdened. Don't want you to walk out of this meeting carrying your own load. Don't want you to do that. God's brought you here today to tell you he loves you and cares for you. And you may say, well, I've got a lot of questions. Okay, everybody has a lot of questions. Forget the questions. Why don't you start to let faith rise within you right now? Lots of questions. But let faith rise. And you'll find that faith will usher in grace. And grace covers everything. I'm going to ask one more time. If you didn't put your hand up, but you feel you should. Because you know, don't want you to walk out there carrying your burden. Just raise your hand and say, I need to be forgiven. With those, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. All those who raised their hand, would you just stand where you are just now? Just stand. No, I'm not exposing you to these people. I want to pray for you. Just want to pray for you. All you who raise your hands, those at the back, yeah, just stand now. God loves you. God cares for you. God wants to do good things for you. You, sir, I want to tell you, God can do a whole lot more for you than what you believe. How can I put this in words that I don't want to offend you, but somehow you've shriveled God. He's almost shriveled. He's there. He's not gone, but he's shriveled in your mind, in your heart. God says, release me because I'm going to do great things for you. You're going to find a new lease of life in Jesus Christ that you've never found before. He's going to carry your burden. Amen? He'll do that. He'll do it because he loves you and he cares for you. And this gentleman here, I want to just pray for him because God's going to do something good for you, sir. God loves you. God cares for you. And your sin, he can wash it in his blood. May the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, wash you from head to soul right now. Wash your sin away. Give you a pure heart in him. Amen.